This episode is brought to you by Pandora. This year, Pandora's focus is Be Love, where love is more than just a feeling. It's something that one does, lives, embodies, and embraces. For me, Be Love is all about self-love. For years, I found it really easy to shower my friends and family with love and endless compassion, but when it came to me, I was always so much harder on myself. These days, I've worked on treating myself with kindness, compassion, and I even give myself gifts. Pandora's jewelry collections feature unique designs crafted with high-quality materials. So whatever you're into, sterling silver, 14-karat gold, and lab-grown diamonds, there's something for you. Be Love emphasizes Pandora as a complete jewelry brand for you to add some sparkle to your life, regardless of an occasion or holiday. Visit au.pandora.net for more. Be Love by Pandora, where you are the special occasion. If you listen to Tough Love regularly, you probably notice I talk a lot about food. We love to eat. So I'm often bringing you along to meals with family and with friends. And someone who has become a really close and food-loving friend here in LA is Jess Damick. I just want to take a photo of this outside of Jess's home. It's like this massive, like overwhelming wall of greenery. There's these amazing succulents and different sorts of cactus and things that look like they should live underwater, but they're actually desert amazing plants. And anyway, it's just a fucking beautiful place to live. With the steepest fucking driveway. She's an incredible cook and hosts the most beautiful dinner parties I've ever been to. They're always outdoors, in her garden. There's multiple courses, loads of vegetables, the most stunning flower arrangements everywhere. And she released her best-selling cookbook, Salad Freak, back in 2022.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's really good to see you.
It's been so...
The last time I saw you was...
She's just followed it up with her brand new book, Health Nut.
Hello.
There she is.
I'm not going to hug you because I'm covered in plaster powder.
What are you doing?
I am making...
Show me what you're doing.
Yeah, come on back here.
Jess is also best friends with one of our closest buddies, music producer, artist, actor, Benny Blanco. And they've collaborated on Benny's debut cookbook, Open Wide.
I can't believe how constantly productive you are.
I mean, this was supposed to be relaxing. I realized ceramics and sculpture is like the only possible thing that could be worse for your posture than cooking. I thought like, I'm always hunched over counter.
Yeah.
And I somehow discovered the only thing that you're hunched even more.
What are those ones over there?
These are plates I'm making
for
my...
So Jess is a very busy girl, but we are interrupting her today. We're popping over to her house to talk about perfectionism and creativity, how Martha Stewart taught her to make tough love decisions, and how she's happiest when she's making a mess.
Getting splatters everywhere. And
wow. Okay, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep going with your things?
I'm going to get you set up to make some clay yourself if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I really suck. Like, I don't know what I'll make.
Well,
probably just a phallic thing.
I really like about clay. Like, you can just sort of sit down and the shape just comes. And I ordered some lunch if you want.
It's called a crispy hippie wrap, and it's like crispy brown rice, broccoli, cabbage, tahini, and I honestly think that might be it. If I forget to eat and realize there's nothing in the fridge, I will order that.
Well, you and I are quite similar in that I think we always crave a bit of a crispy edge to our food. We're crunch girls.
Yes, I'm definitely a crunch. Maybe that should be the...
Crunch Girl, third book.
No, it's true. I like really bright, crispy food. everything I eat needs to have like a lot of acid in it and have something that's raw or a nut or something crispy, yeah. crunchy yeah. texture. That's why I love salads so much.
That's why we love it. Almost since the whole time I've known you, you've been on deadline. You've been from one book to a book with a really close friend, Benny Blanco, and your own second book, Health Nut. Like, going through this process of the pressure of being creative, how has it been for you this time?
You know, having a deadline helps me get things done, for sure. I have ADHD. I'm like all over the place, and I'm a total perfectionist. So if I had unlimited time to do something, I think I would drive myself absolutely insane. What's been helpful with having a deadline is I'm like, okay, it has to be done. I could spend the rest of my life still working on Salad Freak, trying to make sure it was, you know, absolutely perfect, but I had to turn it in. I had to move on. And I think that's been really helpful for me to not get stuck. Even having such a quickly approaching deadline with Health Nut, my second book, I had to pretty much start on that and Benny's book right after Salad Freak came out. I didn't have time to overthink, what is this book going to be about? I had to operate much more from like my first instinct. What excites me right now? What do I want to eat? I'm cooking all day at Benny's house and then I come home and I still have to make dinner. What even appeals to me right now? And I think that led to a much better book, honestly, because isn't that kind of like the state we're all in sometimes when it's time to cook dinner? Like, we've been using our brains and our bodies all day and it's like, oh, I still have to do this other thing. And I think food, well, sometimes for me, it's about entertaining, having an experience. It's about, you know, kind of taking people on an adventure, trying all these new ingredients, spending all day in the kitchen. But most of the time, it's like, I want to make something nourishing for myself and my partner, Ben. And I don't want to do a lot of dishes afterwards because I'm tired. I want to have more time to actually connect with him or whoever's eating with us than to be like worried about going to multiple stores to find certain ingredients or making a huge project about it. Like, I wanted to kind of go back to basics on this one and make it really practical, make it ingredients that you could hopefully find in almost any grocery store. Teaching people, when is it really important to buy organic? When should you really go to the farmer's market for something? I don't know. It was a learning experience to let go of the idea of it having to be perfect and just go with what made sense for me in that moment. Knowing it's hard with a book because a book feels like, oh, it's this thing that lasts forever. And you want every word to be just right. And you want every photo to feel timeless. And you know someone can pick it up in many, many years. But I try to think of each one as a little bit of a time capsule. I make playlists every month also, and I feel like it's really similar. I'll drive myself insane, like trying to pick the order of all the songs. And it's like, oh, that's my little time capsule for January 2024. And that's what these books have become. It's like a year of time shoved into this document. And while I might not feel the same exact way in 2 or 3 years, it's a very accurate depiction of my emotional state and personal life in that moment. And I think that allows me to give myself permission to have it be maybe not perfect, but true to that moment.
You mentioned something kind of at the start there where you said that you almost have had to learn how to operate on instinct, which... yeah, there's, you know, perfectionism in there, but sometimes just going with that gut instinct and then being able to do it and let it go. Do you think that that's something that you've had to cultivate? Because I'm even thinking of, you know, the decade that you were making food every day for Martha Stewart, and you probably would having to be creative, make decisions, be instinctual every single day for this really, really hard to please customer.
Yeah. And I think something that I've really learned from Martha is like, be decisive. Like sometimes you just have
it's
to,
hard.
You have to move forward. And it's always that like, ooh, I'm not sure. Where like in cooking, in everything, if you sort of just can charge forward with something, it's always going to be less painful. It's that waffling where the suffering exists. And I think that's been really hard in these big creative projects. And I am not a big complainer, but there were certainly days where I was complaining a lot about, oh, I don't know if I should do this. And Ben, my partner, is like very good in that department. He'll be like, hey, just make a decision. You've been going back and forth about this for like days. I'm still working on that, but it's getting better.
This episode is brought to you by Pandora. This year, Pandora's focus is be love, where love is more than just a feeling. It's something that one does, lives, embodies, and embraces. For me, be love is all about self-love. For years, I found it really easy to shower my friends and family with love and endless compassion, but when it came to me, I was always so much harder on myself. These days, I've worked on treating myself with kindness, compassion, and I even give myself gifts. Pandora's jewelry collections feature unique designs crafted with high-quality materials. So whatever you're into, sterling silver, 14-karat gold, and lab-grown diamonds, there's something for you. Be Love emphasizes Pandora as a complete jewelry brand for you to add some sparkle to your life, regardless of an occasion or holiday. Visit au.pandora.net for more. Be Love by Pandora, where you are the special occasion.
When you're in that crux moment and you're like, shit, I need to make a decision. I've only got 4 pages in the book left and I've got to kick out these 5 recipes that I love. Is there a thing that you think of that's like a question you ask yourself to make a decision like that?
I think with the recipes, do I want to eat this? Is it delicious? Is this something like I crave? Does it already exist out in the world? Or is there something about it that feels really unique to me and my style of food? And then really, I do ask myself almost every time, how big of a mess did I make making this recipe? I think that's such an important part to consider when developing a recipe. Like to me, if you have to use 8 different bowls to make something, it is not a good recipe. You should not have to do that. I hate doing the dishes. It's hard to love to cook so much and to hate cleaning up so much. But I think, again, like I was saying before, do you have to go to a million different stores to find these ingredients? Is there a specialty ingredient that like no one's going to be able to find? Will you have a million dishes to do and like stuff spilled all over your oven and all of this stuff? Like the answer is yes to those things. I will probably cut it and save it for something else.
Do you have a favorite, like a personal favorite recipe that's in the book coming out at the moment?
It's funny. I think it was the first thing I developed. The book was originally supposed to be a vegetable book, and this is where the instinct thing comes in again. The publisher really wanted a vegetable book. I was like, I really don't feel like doing that. It's very similar to Salad Freak, but if that's what I have to do, I'll do it. And I started developing recipes, and I was looking at a lot of vegetarian books from the 70s while I was doing it, because so many vegetable books come out every single year and they all, you know, have their own take on it. But like more often than not, they're like kind of precious. I get it. I love vegetables. I could take beautiful photos in my garden like all day and be happy. But these books from the 70s were so ahead of their time, so cool, so visually inspiring in a lot of ways. And I was like, I just want to write a health food book. So I had to convince them that a health food book would be something that people would want to buy. And especially mentioning 70s health food. They were like, oh my God, that's like everybody's nightmare. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, that's all I want to eat. Brown rice and vegetables. Like, I'm not going to make it super boring or super bland or brown or whatever you're afraid of. Like, just let me do it. And the first thing I developed was this sweet potato bread with a miso tahini butter. Wow. And it is sort of the perfect celebration of those like earthy, umami, like slightly sweet flavors that feel really of that time to me, but like just in a really new, fresh way. And it's so good. It's, I don't know, kind of like the perfect. I don't like things that are super, super sweet. And this is definitely like, it's one of the few recipes in the book that actually just uses real cane sugar, but it's just not very much. So it's, I don't know. That's the one that Yum. I'm very excited about.
Do you get stressed in the process of putting together a book like this? Or just in your life in general?
Yes. And I think one of the things that I learned, I mean, I knew it about myself, but I saw it in a different way. I'm an only child and I am a control freak. And in my creative projects, I'm most often doing them by myself. And one of the really great things about making a book, especially a cookbook, is like you do need to collaborate with other people. I'm not going to do everything myself this time. Like it kills me every time I try to do everything myself, taking on the weight of that. And, you know, my brain will just be filled with, I need to do this, I need to do that, I should have done it that way. And I was on set during Salad Freak and I was having lifestyle photos taken of me. Then I had to like go into the kitchen and make whatever I was making and then plate it and then steam the napkins for the next shot. And I'm like, this is crazy. I'm not going to do this again. So I think a big part of letting go of perfectionism for me, it has been learning to collaborate with other people. And in doing that, yes, I'm hiring people who are helping me make my creative vision come to life, but I'm also hiring specific people because of their unique take on things and their skill set.
Wow. Salad Freak is actually control freak.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Where do you think that came from?
I don't know. Honestly, my parents were like, you've always been like that. Like, yeah. Even when you were like a little kid, you would like drive yourself insane working on like whatever you were working on. I had famously had severe meltdowns during every single one of my science fair projects where I would throw my poster board onto the ground and like just totally melt down. And then I'd like win best of fair. My mom said it's like a reoccurring pattern for sure. And I have no idea where it came from. I think it's definitely made me who I am though. My obsession with the details are what makes what I do feel different. It's just, how can I achieve that without driving myself completely insane? And yeah, I think, like I said, collaborating has been an uncomfortable, but like necessary thing, I think. And just sharing, taking off some of the load, because it's too much to carry if you want to be doing something for a long time.
It's kind of interesting getting to a point in your life where you realize that your strength is also your weakness. Like, it's like the thing that kind of defines you. There's a fine line of, I want to live my life in a way where I can use this as my superpower, but I can't use it so much that it overwhelms, I'm guessing, like not just working relationships, but your relationship to probably your health, to your partner, to yourself.
Totally. You know, it's interesting. The thing I go back to all the time, I throw a lot of dinner parties and I had to take a little break while I was doing these books because it was just too much. But up until the moment that people are like sitting down at the dinner and I actually join the table and sit down and maybe have like my first bite of food that day, I am so stressed out. Everybody's like, oh, you make it look so easy. And I'm like not breathing because I'm thinking about these little tiny things that like no one else cares about. They care when they see them, but when I'm like, Ben, this thing, the tablecloths are like a slightly different color than I thought, and the flat, and he's like, nobody's gonna notice. I'm like, but they will. when it's all right, then the effect that it has.
I feel it.
Yes. And whenever anybody's like, oh, you make it look so easy. And I'm like, no, I'm like worried sick. I remember I was helping Martha get ready for her Christmas party one year. My friend Molly and Sarah and I were making cookies. It was like a cookie swap. And we had to make like, I'm not exaggerating, like 3,000 Christmas cookies, all hand decorated. It was crazy. 5 or 10 minutes before guests were like set to arrive, Martha came running in and was like, we don't have enough cookies. And I related like so much to that moment of panic. And I was like, oh, this is never going to go away. It doesn't go away for anyone. Martha is truly the queen of hosting and parties and everything. And she's worried sick about this like thing that everyone else thinks is totally irrational. But to her, it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And that's why she's Martha Stewart.
There was a quote that I heard you say once in an interview where you were like, if I don't feel slightly anxious, I can't tell if I'm alive.
It's true. It's true. I'm beginning to also understand that that anxiety can also be something a little bit less, you know, scary. It can be a curiosity too, some sort of feeling of being uncomfortable. Because growth feels really scary too. It can make you feel anxious. It can make you nervous. And I do think that's very much being alive and being a human.
Yeah. Nothing happens. What's that quote? It's like nothing new happens in the comfort zone or something like that. Nothing new happens when you're being safe.
It's really true. And I think, you know, that's another thing that's been so nice about having so many opportunities to make books in the last couple of years and having these tight deadlines, because it gives me a lot of room to experiment and try different things. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to know with this book, if people really don't like health food or like the way this looks, I have one more book I'm making. So let me do the thing that feels really good in my heart and soul right now and just see. You know, I think great art comes from just doing it, just trying it, just coming from a place of having something to say or share with people. And I think that's where new ideas come from and things can look a little different. I'm very bored by everything staying the same.
Yeah. When you're able to just take a beat and lovingly make yourself a meal, is that when food comes back to, I don't know, a meditative sort of state for you? Or do you almost feel like you're always on when you're making food?
I am so burnt out on food right now. I think by doing my...
Give it up.
Yeah, by doing my book and Benny's book at the same time, I've like kind of never reached this point before. There have been a few moments where I'm like afraid, like, am I burnt out forever? Is the same feeling going to sort of come back? And I just don't want to rush into the next thing because of that. I know I can develop 100 more recipes probably pretty quickly if I needed to, but I want to feel that connection again. I want to be excited by things and allow other things to inspire me. It was interesting with Salad Freak because it was, you know, every food experience I had up until that point, I could include in that book. But then for my second book, I had already used so much of my inspiration. So I had to draw from a totally different space. And I think, yeah, my connection with food right now is strange. I'm actually, the most exciting thing to happen recently was I took a strike in December and I was like, I'm not going to cook at all. Ben, you can cook, or we can go to people's houses, or we can go out to dinner. But like, I don't want to do this right now. And going to eat at other people's houses and just being a guest was like so wonderful. Sometimes people get nervous to cook for me, which I'm always like, please don't be silly. I will eat anything anyone serves me, like, because it's such a nice break. And it's so exciting for me to see what other people do, especially people who are not professionals. I love seeing what herbs people decide to throw in there, how they changed a recipe they've been making for a long time. So that was actually really exciting to me. I don't know if any of those recipes will like make it into a future book that I tried, but I loved having that experience. And it did remind me, oh, this is what I'm doing for other people all the time. And that does feel really good. But having that experience for myself for a while was great.
It's funny, I hadn't thought of that. Because you can kind of overdose on anything when you're too involved in one sort of thing. If I was in a job where I was like listening to one certain sort of album, I'd be like, get into the car and all I want to listen to is people talking. I don't want to hear music. It hadn't really crossed my mind that, oh my God, that's how you would also feel about food. And you cannot avoid food. Like you have to eat multiple times a day.
Yeah. You know, and it's still, it's a little off still, but it hasn't been. Not that much time has gone by since I've turned in the book. And it's been really nice to also pick up other people's books and just cook a recipe and be reminded that it is wonderful to turn off your brain and just read from a book and go to the store with a list that you've written from the ingredients in the book and not trying to recreate the wheel and come up with some hack or some crazy new idea, like whatever it is, just cooking. But I've also been doing a lot of ceramics and just trying to do some other things with my hands that feel relaxing and meditative that are not food. And that's been really, really helpful as well.
What do you think it is for you about using your hands?
I was thinking about it today. I was like making these plaster sculptures and I was sanding them. And my whole childhood, I really wanted to be a doctor, like specifically an orthopedic surgeon.
You were, right? You're working in a hospital.
Yeah. And I was like, this is so funny. Like, it's not that much different what I'm doing at the end of the day. Like, I see, like, now that I'm using all of these, like, tools for ceramics, it's really, I guess, always been in my bones to do something like that. And I'm not sure. I just need to keep my hands busy.
Outside of being completely absorbed with food and the art of food the last few years, have there been kind of tough love lessons that you've otherwise learnt within yourself outside of who Jess is at work?
I said at the beginning of this year, as soon as I finish these projects, all I want to do is make a huge mess. Whether it's the kitchen or the studio, when I'm fully in something and I just am not paying attention to what I'm doing with my body, basically, and there's, you know, ingredients flying everywhere and I'm like wiping chocolate on my pants by mistake or I have plaster all over the floor, like that chaotic moment where I'm truly so in something that I'm not aware of anything else. I just want to get to that place with something besides food. And before I was a cookbook author or working with food at all, like I've always been a visual artist and I've never allowed myself to take that very seriously. I think even when I was like going to college, I remember like my art teacher was like, oh, you should apply to RISD. And I was like, no, I'll apply to Brown and I'll apply to these other schools and I'm going to be a doctor. And sometimes I start the artist's way, but I never finish it. I don't know if you've ever looked at it. It's this amazing book by Julie Cameron. It's just a practice and it's sort of a removing a lot of the like conditioning around being an artist and how I think they maybe never like straight up said it, but it was sort of this thing like you should definitely be a doctor because you'll always have like a job and great health insurance and stability and security and you'll help people and all of these things. And like, you're a great artist, but you can always just do that for fun or do it on the side. But I think I really learned this year that if I'm going to be like true to myself that being an artist comes before being a food person or really anything else. It's the desire to experiment and express myself in different ways and allowing that to be taken more seriously by myself and wondering what sort of forums exist for that outside of cookbooks or dinner parties, or where else is there a space for me to explore that?
And it's also that thing that we've said before, which is it would be really nice just to be a bit chaotic and be a bit messy without thinking of the outcome or an algorithm.
Yes. You know, I think especially with my ceramic work right now, it's not for anyone else. It's for me. And I don't care if anyone else likes it or thinks it's good right now because I like it and I'm happy and I'm exploring new things.
Jess grew up in a small community, an island town just off Long Island in New York called Shelter Island. It was busy in the summers, it was quiet the rest of the year, and Jess talks about what it was like growing up there.
I was a very good student, but I didn't seem like I was paying attention. And I'd be like drawing, but also taking notes, and teachers were like so mean to me. I think that really like having older people who are supposed to sort of be role models for you be sort of mean or jealous of you can definitely deflate you quite a bit or make you feel like there's something wrong with having almost a little bit of arrogance or that extra confidence that you sort of need. Because I never felt like I was overly confident or super boastful of things I was were doing, but definitely felt kind of knocked down by people. So
yeah, how did it make you feel? It must have been a bit confusing, I feel.
Totally. And I think, like I said, I was in like seventh grade and I was like, Mom, like, Dad, please, I just want to go to boarding school. Like, I want to go somewhere where like no one knows who I am and I can just be really serious about what I'm doing. And I did go to a different school for 11th and 12th grade. I went to the Ross School in East Hampton, which was so amazing. Just really focused on different visual art, music, writing, being able to be really creative in a new space where, you know, meeting all new people. What's strange about Shelter Island, which is stranger than a normal small town, is it's a summer community. So the year-round residents are mostly like middle class, but then in the summer there's an extremely like outrageously wealthy summer community. And very early on, I realized like, oh, there are people who live in this house for like 2 months a year and this house is five times bigger than my house and filled with amazing things. I think that's where just sort of realizing that people have very different existences on this planet, the comparison sort of began, a sort of like inferiority complex or trying to prove myself really began pretty early. And I think that's really hard to let go of.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's definitely where, even if I was already a perfectionist, that made it a million times worse. So it does feel like, oh, in everything I do, I'm like trying to prove myself. And these books are a great opportunity to do that. But I know that that's empty. That could go on forever and never be totally fulfilling. It needs to also come from the joy of just creating. Because if you can't enjoy that process, then it's just going to be a bottomless pit.
Yeah, you'll never stop. It's funny hearing that because it's like that needing to prove stuff and feeling slightly inferior. I see it so much more here in LA, more than I ever saw it in Australia, that intense needing to prove hustle mentality. But then even as you said, like growing up, you would have had some of that control freakness as a little kid. But then if you're going to a school and you don't feel supported, then you're going to also feel like you have to do everything yourself because you can't rely on collaborating with people because they're not extending an arm out to you where maybe they should. So maybe that like cemented it in even further.
You know what? My biggest experience in high school not having that was being in a band with
bass player, right?
I was a bass player and there were like, it was like three really talented dudes, like especially Jeff the drummer and Mark the guitar player were like really, really talented musicians. And I like did not have to carry my weight at all. They would like totally write the song and be like, okay, Jess, like here's what you're gonna play. And then I could just look so cool like on stage. And I like, I knew how to play, but like they were definitely helping me out. And that was like the opposite experience where I felt like I didn't have to do any heavy lifting.
You could let go.
It was like really, really nice.
Should we start a jam band? Have you still got bass guitar?
Yeah. You know what I've been, I actually, that band, I played like metal in high school. And sometimes.
Nu metal?
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, I think I'd be really happy. Like, it's so fun to play metal. Like, I've never played any other type of music that was that much fun to just, like, turn it up and, like, rock out. And I still to this day, like, I play guitar a little bit, but I never got, like, really good. If I had to, like, leave everything behind and start over, I would definitely dedicate the rest of my life to, like, learning how to shred on guitar and learning how to like be an amazing surfer. I think if you could do either or both of those things, you must feel like $1 million every morning.
Let's begin our jam session. Jess, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This was so nice. It's so nice to see you. It's been too long.
Oh my God. Also, I'm sure this is a question you've answered so many times. And I can't believe we've never even talked about this as well because it's like the ultimate dinner party question. But what are your top three vegetables?
Well, I really love broccoli. There's so many different things you could do with it, but like slightly charred broccoli, not much is better than that. I love sweet potatoes. Broccoli and sweet potatoes together are fantastic. Ooh, and only one more. Carrots are what came to mind first. I have a recipe. Benny actually showed me this idea. Doing like a gomai sort of sesame dressing on raw carrots.
Oh, yum. It's what, shredded or something?
Yeah, so good. I guess it's like I can nerd out on vegetables forever. Like what always impresses me is like a carrot is something people think like, oh, this is just for like dipping in hummus or like chopping up for soup or using in a sauce. But by itself, especially if they're like fresh farmers market carrots, they're so good. It's crazy. You don't have to do much to them and they're like, they taste amazing.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you.
Okay, what are you showing us?
This succulent right here. See those little yellow flowers?
Oh, yeah.
They just bloomed today. You know, the bees are over there. Oh, have you seen them?
No.
Yet?
Let's go see the bees.
Okay.
And while we keep wandering around Jess's extensive garden...
The garden is kind of in a sleepy stage right now. Just mostly carrots.
You can get both of Jess Dammick's cookbooks, Salad Freak and her new one, Health Nut, out now.
You can probably get some cool audio, actually.
What?
If you hold the mic up to the...
Oh my God, it's loud.
Yeah.
Oh, and spoiler alert, I managed to get my hands on some of that sweet pumpkin bread with the miso tahini butter that Jess mentions, and it is fucking insane. You have to try it. It's in the Health Nut book.
And then what's here?
This is, I like have left my peppers from the summer. So those are all Fresno chilies. And those are habanada, which are like fruity, like habaneros, except they're not spicy. They're amazing.
In this bed. Next time on Tough Love, we head to New York to hang out with comedian Aaron Chen.
I think like people in Australia don't respect you until you leave.
And he takes us on the most charming tour of his new home in Brooklyn.
This is a taxidermied mole that my friend Sam Campbell got me for Christmas this year. It's kind of dressed as a wizard and it's a real mole. It's disgusting.
Tough Love is a podcast by me,
Linda Mariano.
It's produced by me, Amelia Chapello, and Adair Shepherd, with a special high five to Mike Williams. If you liked the show, why not rate and review on your podcast player now? And have you thought about joining our Tough Love world? You'll get extended interviews, my newsletter, and early ad-free episodes. Also, you can be part of our members-only series titled Tough Love, Love Stories. So if you're looking for ways to support this independent show, then I'd love to have you as part of our family. The link is in the show notes with all the info for you to join our Tough Love team. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Love you. Ciao, ciao.